Gentlemen, start your engines.
Tune up your motorsports knowledge. Power Up Motorsports Channel.
No, he didn't slam you. He didn't bump you. He didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the first edition of Pit Pass USA on the brand new Power Up channel. I am your host, Larry Henry. I'm going to give you the real quick 30-second version of who the heck I am. I've been involved in motorsports broadcasting since really 1980. That was the first year I was part of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network. I worked with them for 15 years through 1995. Primarily, I was in the third turn, got to watch a lot of great racing. Then I went with Championship Auto Racing Teams, did radio for them around the world, and also worked on their Inside Kart TV program. And then about 2002, 2003, when Kart kind of went south, I wound up doing other things. I'm the track announcer at Michigan International Speedway. I also work at Daytona. I do some online podcast work for Ford Racing. This Week in Ford Racing. You can catch it at FordRacing.com. In fact, there's a NASCAR one there right now. I do a Colin Brown interview every week for his sponsor, Conway Freight, and some other things. And, of course, I do Pit Pass USA. And to kick off the program, the first time out on the Power Up Channel, I have got a lineup for you. I'm going to talk with the guy that just won the Indianapolis 500 just a little over a week ago, Elio Castroneves. Didn't have a good weekend in Milwaukee, but we'll talk to Elio about winning Indy for three times and all that's gone on. How about Dr. McDreamy, Patrick Dempsey? You know him from Grey's Anatomy, but do you know he's also racing in the Grand-Am Rolex Series in a Mazda RX-8? We're going to talk to Patrick about his racing career. We're going to find out about a great new local racing program with Mike Delahante from Ford Racing. This is for the local racers, the small track guys, the Friday and Saturday night, the quarter milers, the half milers. Great program there. But to start the program, last Thursday, the big news in NASCAR and went through the weekend was that Tony Urey Jr. was out as Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s crew chief. Lance McGrew was in. And it just so happened that Dale Jr. was here in Detroit, where I am based. And I had a chance to sit down and talk with Dale. And I wanted you to get the feel of what was going through the mind of Dale Earnhardt Jr. just hours after he got the news that his cousin, and really the guy that's almost like his brother, was out and he had a new crew chief.
We have obviously announced that there'll be a change in the makeup of the 88 team, and it was a very difficult situation. Obviously, when me and Tony Jr. went to work with Rick, we expected to have a lot of success and be in a totally different situation than we are now. And it's really disappointing, I guess, that we aren't making that happen. And you know, it's a situation, it's a relationship that's very important to me, the one with Tony Jr. And you know, we are family, and it was a pretty big risk, I guess, for me and him both to make the move, and we really wanted it to work, and unfortunately we didn't succeed. And being this is a business, Rick and the guys decided that we needed to go in a new direction, and I'm supportive and confident in the decisions that they make. They've got a lot of great success. Obviously, there's no arguing. They know how to run a race team. So I want to be in a good position to run as well as I can. We've got a lot of sponsors and a lot of responsibilities to put ourselves in that situation if we want to if we want to be able to race every weekend. So I'm pretty confident. I still have a good resolve and a good initiative and motivation to get up and get to the racetrack every weekend and try to see when we'll turn this thing around. And you know, Rick and the guys are positive about the decision that we've made to make the change in crew chief. They seem confident about the decision, and that kind of makes me feel pretty good about it, you know, and makes the team feel good that at least that they're aware of our situation and aware and willing to make changes and do whatever it takes. So,
well, you know, you said it's a business, and it's got to hurt because you and Tony Jr. have been together all your lives, basically. But it is a business, and it's results, and you got to try something right now. You're 19th in points, but the top 12 is still within grasp the way this season's gone.
Yeah, to Rick Hendricks' credit, they waited a lot longer to make this change than they probably would have, considering the fact that me and Tony Jr. have a relationship like brothers. They gave us more time than anyone else probably would have gotten to try to make this work. And to Tony Jr.'s credit, he tried everything he knew to try to give me what I needed at the racetrack. And he worked and has always worked harder than anybody I know in the sport. The guy has devoted his entire existence to working on race cars, and he's sacrificed extensive amounts to be where he is today. So it's really, really disappointing that it didn't work out, because we gave everything we have to be there, and I think me and him both deserved it to work out. But so it's really frustrating, but you know, I've been through a lot tougher things, and situations like this, you know, they come and go, and you move forward, and you go out and perform, and under the circumstances, this weekend we'll band together best we can and go do the job best we can, and I feel confident. You know, like I said, I told Rick when me and Tony Jr. were quite aware of how delicate our situation was over the last several weeks, and we knew we needed to step up our performance somehow, some way, to be able to keep our situation intact. And me and Tony Jr. both told Rick throughout those 6 or 8 to 10 weeks, when they were starting to look at our situation really closely, me and Tony Jr. both told Rick to make the decisions that they needed to make as a company, and that we would support them whichever decisions they made. And so that's what's happening.
When you put the helmet on, put the gloves on, get in the car, it's all got to go out of your mind. You feel you can do that. You're going to be hearing a different voice in those earphones.
Yeah, it will. It'll be fine. I know how to, you know, I know how to go to work, and I know how to get in there and focus and try to do, you know, I know how to give my team, I guess, the focus that I need to give it, and I know how to be there and show up on Saturday and Friday during practice, and have my head on straight. I should be in good shape. I mean, it's going to be a weird deal, you know. I mean, I've been working with Tony Jr. all the last 2 years, and before that, it's going to be weird. But Tony Jr. was a comfort zone for me, and I need to understand that Rick and those guys are trying to make good decisions and trust what they're trying to do and trust the decisions they're making, and go forward with confidence that it's going to be a good deal.
You mentioned comfort zone. Do you think the change out of that might, I don't know, change things up a little bit? I don't want to say you weren't focused or anything, but I mean, it's just different with the whole thing and the situation that you're moving into.
Yeah, it should be a whole lot different. The whole style of the approach to the weekend, my ethic toward my job, everything should change and tweak just a little bit different. Working with another individual that that you have no relation to, and they don't have to take any of your stuff. So it should be good, I think. I mean, I think it'll be a, you know, I'll look at the situation and try to become better for it and through it. I'll try to figure out what are the positives to it, what how can it improve me and make me better as a person and as a driver, and I'll try to, you know, concentrate on those things.
Dale, not that you haven't had pressure before, but now with the changes that have been made on the 88 team, I mean, arguably you're with the best team in NASCAR right now, and you look at your three teammates and what they've done so far. Everyone expects you to make the chase, although you're mired down in the points. Does it put pressure on you now that you've got to go out and get wins, or you got to post top fives almost all the time?
The pressure I feel is so intense, I can't tell when it changes. I can't really tell when it goes up and down, and it's way up there and always has been a heavy load. But I've always had that. I mean, even through high school, and so I've gotten really used to it, and I can't say that there ain't times when it bothers you. I mean, it does. There's times when the pressure gets so great that it bothers you. But you just do the best you can. I mean, I love to drive cars. I'm here to drive cars. That's what I want to have as a career. And so you show up every week with the initiative to do that and do it as good as you can. And I mean, I don't have an explanation for our situation this year and why it's been as miserable as it's been. We changed nothing from last year. Of course, we tailed off near the end of the year, but we really came into this year feeling like we could rebound and have the type of success we were having at the first half of 2008, and we haven't even gotten close to being mediocre. So there's obviously something that's not tangible that's seriously wrong with the team. And Rick and all the guys are going to figure out what that is.
Okay, so we're in Detroit. I got to ask you, Brad Keselowski, I've known his mom and dad, known him, known his brother. What about him? And he seems to have that going and doing a great job for you.
Brad is a good kid. He's got a bright future. He is a good talent. And I think he has what it takes upstairs to be a good race car driver, not just on the track. He has what it takes really to be dedicated and focused off the track. And he's really, really good at concentrating throughout the week on what his job is and what he's to do. And he doesn't really get too distracted by outside sources. And that's really, really important. So I'm excited about Brad's success in our nationwide program at JR Motorsports with GoDaddy and everybody. He's done a good job there, and I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of impact he can have in the next Hill Cup.
Okay, that's Dale Earnhardt Jr. I talked to him last Thursday, just hours after the announcement that Tony Urie Jr. was out as crew chief. Lance McGrew was in. You could really tell from his voice what it meant to him and how prophetic there at the very end, talking about Keselowski, who I've known for quite a long time, and he did get the win last weekend at Dover in the Nationwide Series. Well, if you like that, stay with us, because next up we're going to talk to the three-time Indianapolis 500 winner, Elio Castroneves, when Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry continues here on the Power Up Channel. Power Up, your motorsports channel. See it, read it, feel it.
Alert, abducted child, African-American girl, 6 years old. Suspect, Caucasian male, 30 to 35, 6 feet, 180 pounds, wearing blue shirt, black jeans.
Now when an Amber Alert is issued.
White van, out-of-state license, X-ray 687 Charlie.
You can get the same information the authorities get, right on your cell phone. Sign up for free at wirelessamberalerts.org. When an Amber Alert is issued in the areas you've chosen, you'll receive a free text message. If you spot the vehicle, the suspect, or the child described in the alert, call 911. Sign up today at wirelessamberalerts.org. Think of it. Something as simple as a free text message could free an abducted child.
All units, Amber Alert canceled. Child recovered safely. Suspect is in custody. Repeat, Amber Alert canceled.
WirelessAmberAlerts.org. A child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, Grand Am, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, the host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster around the world to work each week to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing, while also never forgetting the local weekend warrior. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
An ordinary sunny day. An ordinary family's living room filled with an ordinary bunch of kids. And they were doing nothing. They were couch slouching. They were rug imitating. And lazy minute after... lazy minute was passing them by. When suddenly...
Huh?
Hey guys, that's a personal foul. An active activity on a sunny day.
Coming to the rescue was NFL running back Reggie Bush.
Players don't get lazy penalties. Let's play.
Those kids, they listened to Reggie. They got up and play they did. There was fun and running. There were smiles and jumping. And laziness was crushed.
Hey kids, don't get a lazy penalty.
Kids, listen to Reggie and avoid lazy penalties. Be a player. Get up and play for an hour a day. Go online to check out smallstep.gov for fun playtime ideas.
So you can be a player too.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Be a player.
Want to join our pit crew? Are you a motorsports expert? Jump into the driver's seat and get your voice heard. To learn more about our broadcasting opportunities, contact us at 480-294-6417. That's 480-294-6417. Or email us at info@voiceamericanetwork.com. That's info@voiceamericanetwork.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Welcome back to our first Pit Pass USA here on the Power Up Channel. We've got a very special guest. Just a little over a week ago, he was drinking the milk at Indianapolis, winning the Indianapolis 500 for a third time this past weekend in Milwaukee. Unfortunately, had a little problem in qualifying, had a crash, never really able to overcome that during the race, although he tried his darndest, but he'll have another chance to get into victory circle this weekend, go to Texas, talking about Elio Castroneves. Elio, welcome in. I didn't get the chance to say it to you face-to-face. Congratulations on winning Indy.
Well, thank you so much. No question. We used all our luck that month, so Milwaukee kind of like, it was asking too much, but unfortunately we couldn't find at least for my group, number three, find the setup, but obviously Ryan was doing a phenomenal job. It's a shame that he didn't win because certainly he was one of the guys to be the winner actually that day.
Does it ever settle in on you, or have you really taken the entire scope yet of winning the Indianapolis 500 three times to this point in your career?
Right now it's been incredible. I'm still kind of like, is that really happened? I haven't been home yet, to be honest. I'm still traveling and doing the most of the media tour and continue traveling, which I love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm loving it. And right now it still didn't sink in yet. I think just the end of the year probably will. But right now I'm just living the moment, having a great time, and doing what I love. It's racing. And the closest thing right now that I'm thinking my next is the championship, trying to focus on that, trying to get more points, and hopefully we'll get that soon.
It's amazing that 9 years ago, the first time you climbed the fence was here where I live in Detroit. You were out of Belle Isle. I remember it because I was doing the victory lane interviews on radio at that point in time, and I look around and you're climbing the fence, which I thought was going to collapse because they weren't the best fences. This is before Roger Penske took over the place the last couple of times they ran out of Belle Isle. But in just a short 9-year span, You've gone from that, getting that first win, climbing the fence, to being a three-time Indianapolis 500 winner. In your wildest dreams, did you ever believe anything like this could happen? And you're still a young man where you could win four, five, maybe six, especially with Roger Penske.
Well, let me tell you one thing. I mean, I might not dream specifically about winning Indy 500, but certainly I was dreaming to succeed and win a lot of races, and that's what I was dreaming and thinking and working for it. So all the rest of the results and everything was coming what I was working for it, and that's the way I always like it. I always been, actually. So it doesn't matter what race, I'm always going to try and do my best. And fortunately, Indy's been very, very kind to me.
You know, during the month of May, and you talked about a lot, what happened with the government and the IRS and the court and all of the things that went on, and all of us that know you and know Katia, your sister, just so glad that the things worked out. But do you have a different perspective on life, which you have such an outgoing personality anyway and such an upbeat outlook on life. Has it changed at all?
Not at all. In fact, changed me, I do believe, for a better person. You know, I'm having more than fun. I realize that I don't not only like racing, but I love racing. And with all those little things like packing my bags, now it's becoming much more fun than in the past. So all these things, it certainly make me a better person, and that's why I'm happy doing what I love.
Well, you've always been happy. I tell people all the time that what they saw when you were doing with Dancing with the Stars, which most people, let's be honest, didn't know who Elio Castroneves was, even though he had won the Indianapolis 500, or at least your personality. And I would tell people, that's him. That's the guy I've known for like 8 or 9 years. I mean, that's exactly him. He's bubbly. He's outgoing. He's always ready to go. He's always got a smile. And those things kind of endear you to fans. I really loved it, and I don't know whether you could hear it at Indianapolis. I'm watching TV. That last lap, usually the fans are on their feet, but they were going wild at Indianapolis. They were just absolutely going wild. I'm surprised you couldn't hear them even above the noise on the racetrack.
Yeah, I was focused. I wasn't trying to see much, but I tell you one thing, on the driver's introduction and when they said the pole position, Elio Castroneves, man, I was impressed with the ovation I got, and I was so thankful for that. I mean, I look around and said, Ryan, man, that's awesome, that's amazing, and it was unbelievable. And as I said, I'm so thankful for them because through this, as you mentioned, the difficult time, we really know who are our fans and who are our people, and I tell you, that were with us and believing in us, and I tell you, Indianapolis, and among with other fans, they were incredible.
Well, you mentioned the championship as we began this, following the Indianapolis 500, that's your focus. Unfortunately, this past weekend at Milwaukee didn't go as you wanted. You had the crash, as I mentioned, in qualifying. Could never really get up and contend and got, you know, laps behind, 11th place finish. It's dropped you back to 5th in the points. Now you go to Texas Motor Speedway, which is a tough and a very fast racetrack this weekend. How tough a place really is Texas?
Well, you know, it's, as you mentioned, it's fast. It's fast. If you have a good car, you're certainly going to have a big chance to win. But again, there's a lot of things, a lot of strategy, and difficult sometimes to pass because there is only two lanes. I'm trying to make a three wide. It's struggling a little bit. You don't want to try too much, but it's certainly a place that you want to have a great team effort, and we had the opportunity to do that twice, and who knows, we can do it again.
Well, you always speak about the team effort with Tim Cindric leading the way. I've known Timmy forever. And that's part of the thing with the entire Penske team. I know Rick Reinemann's been there, I think, since the dinosaur age. Of course, one of the crew chiefs with Penske. But a lot of the guys have been there for as long as I can remember. They're quality people. They know what they're doing. And it's got to be such a great feeling going to the racetrack every week, knowing you've got the best equipment and the best people that are working with you.
Yeah, no, they are Sindrick and the entire group number three, but the entire fans are working together. They always like have a great strategy, always thinking ahead of the game. And well, they won 15 Indy, not because they're lucky. You know, they're trying to prepare as much as they can. And now going to Texas, it's a very similar, not as long as race as Indianapolis, but certainly you need the same type of effort as Indianapolis. So we're ready, man. We're ready.
How tough is it going to be to make up the points, though? Because you've got four good drivers in front of you, four good teams. They've got to have problems, and people forget you missed the first race of the season, so you didn't have any points from that one at all that you've got to overcome.
I don't think about how tough. I mean, I know they're going to be difficult and great competitors, but I just need to do what I need to do, you know, keep hopefully earning a lot of points and be there, be consistent as well. And that's why, unfortunately, Milwaukee, we didn't have a very good car, but my goal was like, let's finish. Let's make this. These points are going to cost and going to help us in the end of the season. And it's a long season still, so it's too early to talk about it, but certainly each race is very important.
Now, there's no question we've seen some crazy things happen in the past IndyCar seasons. Watkins Glen, I think, might be a prime example where it was one of those strange days with cars going off track and crashing under the yellow. And I mean, anything can happen in this crazy world.
Absolutely. I remember last year, 59 points behind Scott Dixon. And, I don't know, one in the race to go, we're battling quite hard. And we're only a few points away from him. So I tell you, anything is possible.
How much would the championship mean to you on top of the Indy 500 win that you got this year?
Great. It would be a resume of a great year. But the championship is always a championship. It's so you have to be consistent. You have to be good through the whole race, through the whole season. And it would mean a lot. It would mean definitely a lot. And I would love to give that as well to Team Penske.
I'm sure you would. It sounds like you're having a great time. You always do, but being in a race car, that's really what you do best. Even though you were a great dancer, you really drive a race car even better than you dance.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you mentioning that.
Well, we wish you the best of luck this weekend at Texas Motor Speedway, and our paths will cross, I know, somewhere down the road. Give your sister my best, too.
Thank you so much. All the best.
That is Elio Castroneves, who just won his third Indianapolis 500. Incredible young man. He's always bubbly. He went through hell. I got to say, went through hell with his tax evasion charges and his sister, Katia. Glad that it all came about, and he was back in a race car in Indianapolis. It was just so great for him. And he is going to be burning rubber like crazy this weekend at Texas. Well, next up on Pit Pass USA, Dr. McDreamy will be on. Patrick Dempsey. Stay with us here on Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on the brand new Power Up Motor Sports Channel. From IndyCar Racing to Powerboats, to Formula One and NASCAR, you're listening to PowerUpChannel.com, your motorsports channel.
Amanda, age 3. Carlos, age 9.
An abducted child is everyone's child.
Jada, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Every day, the chances of becoming a victim of mercury poisoning increase. Mercury poisoning may cause neurological damage that impairs learning, vision, and memory. And mercury itself has become part of our everyday lives, absorbed by certain fish, taken into our bodies, and passed on to our children like a common cold. But you can stop this. Log on to earthshare.org and find out how. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Careful at the party, hun. No alcohol, right?
I know, Mom.
Seriously, you're still growing, and it messes with your judgment.
Yeah, I know.
Trust me, you could do some things you don't really want to do. If you're a grown woman, it's different, but you're not.
I know, okay? I know.
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens. Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. Learn more at stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
an ordinary sunny day, an ordinary family's living room filled with an ordinary bunch of kids, and they were doing nothing. They were couch slouching, they were rug imitating, and lazy minute after lazy minute was passing them by, when suddenly...
Huh?
Hey guys, that's a personal foul. Inactive activity on a sunny day.
Coming to the rescue was NFL running back Reggie Bush.
Players don't get lazy penalties. Let's play.
Those kids, they listened to Reggie. They got up and play they did. There was fun and running. There were smiles and jumping. And laziness was crushed.
Hey kids, don't get a lazy penalty.
Kids, listen to Reggie and avoid lazy penalties. Be a player. Get up and play for an hour a day. Go online to check out smallstep.gov for fun playtime ideas.
So you can be a player too.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Be a player.
Everything Motorsports. See it. Breathe it. Feel it. PowerUpChannel.com.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
So far, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry as we begin our stint here on the Power Up Channel. You've heard from Dale Earnhardt Jr. You've heard from Elio Castroneves. And I'm going to hear from a young man that is making a name for himself in the Grand Am Rolex series, running in the GT series at a Mazda RX-8, doing great there. I just got a new sponsor on board recently, El Grado Tequila. And it's someone you probably know well. I think you've seen him on TV once or twice on Grey's Anatomy. You might know him by Dr. Derek Shepherd. And that is Patrick Dempsey. Patrick, welcome to the program, and thanks for taking some time out of a busy schedule.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on your first show, I guess it is.
First show of the Power Up Channel. You are here, and you're right there with Elio Castroneves and Dale Earnhardt Jr. As I tell people, there's only one way for me to go now, and that's downhill.
Well, it's great to be on your show, number one, and also I'm in very good company.
I got to ask you, Patrick, how did you get involved in motorsports? Now, Paul Newman, I knew Paul because of his days in kart. Of course, Newman Haas Racing, one of the great kart teams, and he got involved because of his being in the movie Winning and got involved. How did you get involved? Was it maybe the celebrity race at Long Beach or some other way?
I have always been a fan of racing since I was a little kid. My father was a big fan of racing. He had a couple short track cars growing up when he was younger, so he had the bug. And I've always followed it. And then one day my wife said, get off the couch and why don't you go and participate. And I did a Skippy Barber, and that sort of opened the door. And then went on to the Panos Racing School and did their series. And well, I've been doing it very seriously now for about the last 5 or 6 years.
See, I did Skip Barber Racing School. I did one celebrity race, and I was done. They weren't allowing me on a racetrack again. But you go on, and you have your own Grand Am Rolex Series team of the Mazda RX-8. That's going to be fun for you to go out and do. And really, the competition in the Grand Am Rolex Series is just so good and so tough.
Oh, it's incredibly tough, and it's great drivers in that. And, you know, it's nice to have the DPs there so you have the two different classes that you're competing with. So there's always something going on. It's great road racing. It's a great series, and certainly the Coney Challenge is another thing. It's a nice ladder program that they have going there. And we did quite well last year with Scotty Maxwell and Joe Foster, my partner, winning the championship in the Mustang. And as a team owner, that was very satisfying. And also coming up through that ladder system to get to the Rolex Series and racing in the Mazda RX-8 has been very satisfying, very challenging. Certainly a lot more demanding than I thought it was going to be running at that level. And, you know, we're getting consistent results. We have some new things we're going to try out on the car this weekend at Watkins Glen, so hopefully we have a good result there. But I've had a great time there. I've had great support from the series and the other drivers, and, you know, lucky to be racing in that series.
Are you trying to follow somewhat in the footsteps, I mentioned it before, of Paul Newman, who was a great racer, great gentleman? For those of us that knew him around the racetrack, he was just Paul, just, you know, this guy you talked to and loved racing. Are you kind of doing your whole racing career somewhat in that mold?
Well, I mean, has a very big shadow over that, you know, and you can't help but come up against this question quite a bit. I don't think anybody's ever going to fulfill his shoes. I mean, he was an incredible driver. He really worked hard at it. He was a great champion. He did a lot with charity. He did a lot in, you know, great work in his movies. So, you know, he's someone that you cannot forget when you step on the track, and that you want to keep that way of handling and respecting the racing. It's always in the back of my mind, how would he do something, and I better do the best I can to distill any kind of bad taste in your mouth coming from Hollywood. You know, I just want to be perceived as a driver, and I conduct myself accordingly, and I hope that, you know, comes in time. I think that's something you have to earn by just being there and having good results.
You mentioned charities, and I talked earlier about your sponsor, which you got on board at New Jersey, and that's El Grotto Tequila, which is a great company, a new company that's coming on board and supporting you in the Grand Am Rolex Series. But you're going to be going to the 24-hour Le Mans, one place that I still got to go to in my racing career to go watch a race there. Going to be running a Ferrari there, but you're also involved with Seattle Children's Hospital at the 24-hour Le Mans.
Right. Every lap we complete, we're raising money, so we hope to complete every lap. That's our goal. It's a great opportunity to go there, and it's a great cause. It's going to affect a lot of young children and hopefully give them a new leash on life, and that's a great thing to be a part of, and another thing that kind of helps motivate you running the tracks there. So it's an incredible event. It's been around for a very long time. It's quite special to be there and to be running a Ferrari there and for such a great cause, and Joe Foster and Don Kitch are going to be running with me, and It's a wonderful event. I got a chance to go over there and test, and I've seen the race firsthand a few years ago. So it's going to be an incredible journey, and I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it and not get too caught up in things where you get paralyzed. But, you know, I've been working hard at focusing on that for the last couple months now and training a lot and feel pretty prepared, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what the race brings us.
Now, this will be the first time you've actually run in the 24-hour Le Mans?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Now this is.
I haven't run the full track yet, so I've been watching a lot of in-car camera and just trying to memorize the track and PlayStation and things like that. But I'm looking forward to getting a chance to go around it for the first time.
Now this is much different than the 24-hour Rolex at Daytona, because there are lights at Daytona International Speedway. The 24-hour Le Mans, you're out there in the countryside.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be a lot more like VIR at night, which is very dark and you can't see where you're going. It's a little wider track. I don't think we're dealing with the same things in VIR, and certainly it's going to be an interesting transition to see how that's going to affect us in the car.
How much fun do you have racing? I've been around racing for, I hate to say this, 30 years, which means I'm old, but I really like the people in it.
I do too. I think that's what keeps me coming back. I really love the camaraderie and the fellowship, and the people around the sport are some of the best people I've ever run into in my life. I really find it a great vacation. It's like coming home to a lot of people I know, and a lot of the drivers have been my instructors over the years and are continuing to, you know, help advise me as I go, and I really appreciate that, and I really find it a great vacation to be around everybody.
Now, one of the things I know you'd like to do is win a GT race. What's it going to take for you to get Dempsey Racing to that point? Because the competition is just so tough in the GT and the Daytona prototypes.
Yeah, it's much harder now because, you know, we're close in times, and it's that just picking up little bits and pieces now and then, the little nuances and just a tenth here and a tenth there make a big difference in doing that consistently. So it's seat time, testing and developing the car, and just being there race after race and seeing what kind of luck you can work to get, you know, and then it's about just trying to be there at the end.
How many years have you been doing this now, racing, since you did the barber school and went to Panos?
I started off about 5 years ago, probably starting with the Panos school, going to the Advanced, to doing the lapping days, and then getting into their series, and then doing MX5 Cup, which is very good, great place to go, great inexpensive way to go racing for many people. I think and the competition is very fierce there. So it's been 5 years. This is my second full year in the Mazda RX-8 and the GT and Rolex.
Well, I find that somewhat incredible. 5 years that you started, and you're going to go take on the toughest challenge possibly in the world, the 24-hour Le Mans.
Yeah, it's definitely jumping into the deep end of the pool with, you know, you're dealing with F1 drivers that are out there. You're dealing with phenomenal European drivers in this, the respect for road racing over there and the following with the fans. It's a huge event, so I've been working on the mental aspect of the sport as well, which is very important, of keeping yourself focused and just taking one turn at a time and being really disciplined there. And that's going to be the challenge, I think, to surviving this race. It's certainly like climbing Everest or playing the Masters. It's that level, and it's a dream come true to me. I think the most important thing is to have fun in the car as much as possible.
Patrick, you mentioned concentration, and maybe a lot of people don't know you suffer from dyslexia. And
right.
you worked and you worked at it. You had to learn all of your scripts in everything that you have done. Has that actually helped you as a race driver because you've had to concentrate so much in your life?
Well, I certainly had to find my own way of doing things and understanding things and overcoming that and allowing that to be okay and not to try to be like everyone else. I think certainly growing up, it's much harder for people diagnosed with dyslexia. I think they've come a long way in the treatment of it and helping people develop skills to overcome that than when I was growing up. So that was very difficult to get rid of, you know, feeling less than everyone else, certainly in school. But then, in many ways, it opened doors and ways of approaching things that are completely different than true academics. I sort of have the belief that you never end your training or your learning, and education constantly is an evolving thing if you really want to go after stuff. So if there's an obstacle, I don't give up. I fight very hard at overcoming it. And I think endurance racing is a great metaphor for that.
Absolutely so, and sports car racing is great. I enjoy watching it. I'm going to be looking forward to watching the action this weekend up at Watkins Glen, one of the great race courses in America. Of course, Formula One used to run there, and then you go to the 24-hour Le Mans, then back to Mid-Ohio, which is just south of where I'm located in the Detroit area. Get a little break, and then we'll see you down at Daytona. So it's a very busy time. Are you doing anything in TV or movies at the moment?
You know, I just took the summer off. I had done three movies back-to-back and the show for five seasons, and I really wanted to concentrate on really building up the team and just getting a chance to focus 100% on the racing. And there's a physical aspect of the sport is very demanding, as well as the mental, and certainly, you know, being a team owner and what it takes to keep your sponsors happy and bring in more sponsors, especially in an economic time, it's very hard to justify that kind of expense and to get people there, and you really need to help them. So it's something I just really wanted to focus on 100%, and that's what I've been doing before I go back to shoot season six of Grays.
Well, Patrick, we thank you for taking time out of a busy schedule to talk with us. Good luck at Watkins Glen, as I said, the 24-hour Le Mans, and I'm planning on catching up with you at Daytona 4th of July weekend.
I can't wait, and thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Patrick Dempsey, what a great guy. Really good guy, and nice of him to take time out and talk to us. He loves his Grand Am Rolex racing with the Mazda RX-8. Got the tequila on board, Del Grotto. They came on board getting ready for the 24-hour Le Mans. He also wanted me to mention the Dempsey Challenge that's coming up October 3rd and 4th up in Lewiston, Maine. That is where he's from. You can check it out at DempseyChallenge.org. And it's for the Patrick Dempsey Center for Cancer, Hope, and Healing. His mother had cancer. Luckily, she has gotten that into remission, and that's great news for her. Okay, we've heard Elio Castroneves, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Patrick Dempsey. Next up, we're going to talk about the local racers, the short track guys, the ones you'll see on Friday and Saturday night at your local quarter mile, your half mile, your dirt track, your paved track, whatever, and a new program that Ford Racing has. It's a great program. Mike Delahanty will be talking with us about that. Just stay tuned. It's more Pit Pass USA with Larry Hendrick continues here on the Power Up Channel.
You are on the inside track of motorsports drivers and teams. PowerUpChannel.com.
Prince Caspian and his horse entered a dark and seemingly endless pine forest. The stories Caspian had heard of trees being unfriendly to man crowded into his mind. The wind became a tempest. The woods roared and creaked all around him. There came a crash. A tree fell right across the road just behind him. Lightning flashed and a great crack of thunder seemed to break the sky in two just overhead. The horse bolted in good earnest. Caspian was a good rider, but he had not the strength to hold him back. He kept his seat, but he knew that his life hung by a thread during the wild career that followed. Tree after tree rose up before them in the dusk and was only just avoided. And suddenly something struck Caspian on the forehead. And he knew no more. Find out what happens next in the book The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian by C.S. Lewis. For other great book ideas, visit www.literacy.gov. Explore new worlds. Read. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Hey, Jack, you got a sec?
Yeah, sure, come on in.
Yeah, I was wondering if you... Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know,
I just need to finish this sales report, and then I'll probably, I don't know, let me lie down for a bit. But I'm sure it'll go away.
But the flames are getting bigger. Shouldn't I... Your hair. There's so much fire.
No, I'll be fine. What can I help you with? Oh, dear. Well, at least we know the sprinkler system works.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Power up with your favorite motorsport. You're listening to PowerUpChannel.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
One of the things you'll find out about me very quickly is I am a big backer of local short track racing. I kind of grew up around it, at least going to it with the family to watch people. I've gone to a lot of short tracks around the state of Michigan while living here. And Ford Motor Company is really getting involved now back on the short track Saturday night, Friday night racer level. And gentlemen, joining me now is heading up that program that they've just gotten underway, Mike Delahanty. And Mike, welcome and congrats on this program. I know Brian Wolf, who is the head of Ford Racing, is a racer himself, and he has really been doing a complete outreach to the sportsmen, drivers, and everyone. And this is just another step in that evolution.
That's right, Larry. You know, if you think about it, the Saturday night, Friday night, whatever, whichever night they run Sportsman Racer, the tracks all around the world or around the country, whether it's 1,200 or 1,500, whatever number you want to believe, there's these small, short tracks everywhere across the country. And Brian and I think all of us at Ford Racing really believe that's the real foundation of motorsports in the U.S.
Mike, what's this program going to entail?
Well, it's actually pretty simple, and really, I mean, the keystone of what we're starting out with is we want to make it easy to race a Ford in your local short track racing. No matter what the venue, asphalt, dirt, or whatever, we want to make it easy to race a Ford.
Now, when you say easy, what does that mean? Parts, support, contingency awards, those types of things?
It's actually a lot of that. I mean, for example, we want to get the information out there to allow the guy to run the Ford. And that takes the form of technical information, but it also involves working with the sanctioning bodies, promoters, the guys across the country to make sure that the rules are written such that the guy can race the Ford.
Now, does that take special rules for them, or is it just kind of tweaking of the rules that they can fit a Ford, whatever it may be, in their local area?
A lot of it is just tweaking, and a lot of it is simply just contacting the sanctioning body promoters to make sure that the parts that they've got written into the rules are the right ones, and to work with these guys on a number of the new parts that we have coming for the circle track racers. So it's not only taking care of the existing business, but it's paving the way for new business and new parts for the racer.
You mentioned parts, Mike, and that's a big thing for the weekend warriors out there. They're always looking for parts. They don't have a lot of money. Part of this program is geared toward that, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, we've got a lot of parts for the guys that like to build their own engines. We've got a couple of new blocks coming. We've got some cylinder heads coming. But an important part of keeping the weekly racing viable is addressing the cost factor. And we've got a number of what we call our sealed racing engines, or crate engines, as they're called a lot across the country, that we're rolling out and working with racers and sanctioning bodies to get wider use of these things. They're a great piece in terms of durability, put out great power, and allow the guy to keep the car on the track, and they put on a good show for the fans.
And a lot of the parts are actually used parts, but they come from Roush Yates, and everybody that knows Ford Racing knows Roush Yates, so this is quality stuff.
Exactly. I mean, these guys, I mean, this is the pinnacle of motorsports in the U.S., all the stuff that's being developed for the NASCAR Sprint Cup programs. These parts and the technology and learning, we're working with Roush Yates to waterfall this technology and even the actual parts that come off of cars down through the sportsman ranks. So it's a lot of great technology, a lot of value that we're going to continue to get some use out of and use that to put on a show for the fans in some of these smaller venues.
One of the things I loved, I saw kind of a logo that you have, and it says Ford Racing is getting dirty. I mean, this is the dirt trackers, the short asphalt trackers, all the weekend warriors, and there's a ton of them out there, which has got to get that community very excited.
It has. You know, I've been working on this not quite 60 days so far, and I tell you what, there's nothing more, better in terms of a feel-good experience than walking into a small track, wearing your Ford Racing stuff, and shaking the Ford racer's hand and say, I'm here to help you. And you want to talk about a grateful experience, you know, and just an outpouring of, man, this is great, between the racers, no matter what brand, and the track operators. They're really glad to see we're back.
Mike, how are these short trackers, the Weekend Warriors, going to find more information about this program? Have you put together a website, or is all of that still in development?
Actually, we are developing we'll call it our /CircleTrack extension off of FordRacing.com, where we're pulling together a lot of the information that not only exists today, but new information in terms of technical information, contingency programs, who to talk to, what to use. And we're even working with a lot of our aftermarket suppliers to link them into, if you're building this, use these Ford parts, but go to these aftermarket guys because they've already got the pieces, parts engineered and on the shelf for you.
Well, Mike, I can tell you're excited about what you're doing, and I know that the local guys have got to get excited too because they just don't get the support from the car manufacturer. And it's somewhat understandable these days with what's been going on in the economic side, but for Ford jumping in, I think it's a great thing, and there's got to be a lot of excitement.
I agree with you. I tell you, I love this stuff, Larry, and I tell you what, there's nothing more rewarding than getting out there and rubbing elbows with the local guys at the short tracks.
Well, Mike, we're going to keep in touch with you because I know a lot of local racers, and they're going to be excited by this, and they're wanting more news. When's the website going to be up? Do you know?
It'll probably be about 30 days. We're actually designing the architecture now, so keep an eye on FordRacing.com. And we've already begun to sprinkle some circle track stuff out there, but there's a lot more coming.
Mike, we appreciate you taking time to talk with us, and we wish you the absolute best of luck with the program.
Okay, Larry, we'll have to go to the tracks on the weekend.
That is Mike Delahanty. He is the program manager for Ford Racing on this new short track effort they're doing. I think it's great. And full disclosure, I do freelance work for Ford Racing. I do a couple of podcasts online, This Week in Ford Racing, a NASCAR edition, and then NHRA, Grand Am, various other things that Ford Racing is into, two of those that you can find at FordRacing.com. So I do work for them. But this is a great program, and Brian Wolf's done a great job of reaching out with the Cobra Jet for dragsters. They've got the FR500C, which is a part number, $75,000 car ready to go racing. It's just a great program, and I really get excited for local track racers. I love the guys down that are out there, and gals, I don't want to shortchange you, that are out there Friday and Saturday night at the local tracks putting every extra nickel they can find into what they love to do on the weekend. Hopefully you liked our first edition of Pit Pass USA here on the Power Up Channel. Had some great guests. Dale Earnhardt Jr., hopefully you learned something from that, even though it went back to last Thursday. Elio Castroneves, always great from him. Patrick Dempsey. Great talking with him, and then Mike Delahanty there. Now, next week, the franchise. David Ruderman's going to be on board. He is going to talk with us about how things are going with Michael Waltrip Racing. Of course, he just won the Coke 600, rain shortened, down at Lowe's Motor Speedway. Alan Johnson from NHRA Pro Stock. He just got his first win last weekend at Topeka in 2 years. He's driving the Mopar J&J Racing Dodge Stratus. We're going to be talking with him. The Robin Miller, yes, the one you see on Speed TV and all, he's going to be here to talk about what's going on in the IRL. And Robin will be never short of what he has on his mind. I've known Robin for a long, long time. And also, as I said with the segment with Mike Delahanty, I like short trackers and interesting stories. A gentleman I talked with actually a few days ago, but he runs in the ARCA RE/MAX series. He is a regular there. He's 60 years old. He's a truck driver by trade, and he lives in Henryville, Indiana. I'm a Henry. It's not my town, but I grew up about 15 miles from there. Daryl Basham. We'll be talking with him next week. I would love to hear from you. Please drop me an email. LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Give me your comments on the show. We're going to try to make it better each week. I thank everyone involved. Don't forget, tomorrow night, my good buddy Mike Knight with the Race Reporters. That'll be at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific time, right here on the Power Up Channel. Thank you for listening. I have had a great time. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. And we will see you next Tuesday night, right here, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on the Power Up Channel. From IndyCar Racing to Powerboats, to Formula One and NASCAR, you're listening to PowerUpChannel.com, your motorsports channel.